Let's start with item 21, Executive Officer's Report. I don't have anything to say about that unless you have a question.
Excuse me, Chair. We're being asked if we have any questions regarding Ken's report.
Yes, item 22.
21.
21.
Sorry, 21.
Ken, I'd like to hear your take home from the workshop with the ranchers.
Well, I agree with you. I thought it went pretty well until I got that one letter from. I think you ended up getting a copy of the response. Oh, well, and I can share it with you. We received a letter from one of the ranchers who. It was a very kind of bizarre letter that insinuated that that we had picked who came to the meeting and some other things that we were looking for fees. So I wrote a letter, and he had CC'd all the Central Coast legislators along with people in Sacramento. And I wrote a very short response and explained, if he was concerned about the organization and who attended, he needed to talk to those who organized the meeting, and reiterated the fact we weren't developing a program, therefore we would not need fees for staff, and so we weren't asking for fees. I did not hear back from him. But in general, I thought it was a great meeting. I thought it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed, I agree with you, I think putting a face on the water board and sitting down with people is always the best way to interact, and I think both Lisa and I came away thinking it was very, very positive. And in fact, just I think last week, and I'll ask Lisa to comment, Lisa went to a second meeting up in San Benito? And where she met with about 30 ranchers. So do you want to come up and talk about that? But I think in general, I thought the meeting went great, and I would go back anytime they asked.
The gentleman who wrote that letter is a rancher in the San Benito County area, I think, or Southern Santa Clara County. Regardless, he was there, and I anticipated that. And I brought him some refined statistics about the issue that he had at the meeting, which was the 303D list and the percentages of listings for impairment that are connected to rangeland or grazing as a source versus unknown and other categories. And just for your information, we have the same percentage in our region as statewide for unknowns, which is 30%, around 30% of all our listings. And we have a much higher percent than statewide has for grazing and rangeland. But the most important thing that I delivered in that regard to them that you should know is that that category on the 303D list is called potential sources. It's not legally required for us to even include. It was more of a policy planning tool, and it's no longer going to be included on the 303D list. So we only will be identifying sources if there's already an established, published report that has done studies that demonstrate that it's known that a certain source of pollutants is already connected to that water body, and whatever the constituent that it's impaired for is on the list. In general, the meeting was similarly positive and a good exchange. They were more interested in a little more focus on the actual water quality conditions in the Par Harbor River watershed, so that was a little bit more detail in another layer. But it's positive to be able to talk face-to-face and actually just to have good dialogue about it.
And I'll add that I was one of the things I was surprised in was the level of technical expertise and interest that the ranchers were showing. It's clear that they are educating themselves and becoming more sophisticated about impacts and grazing activities and how to preserve the land and do a better job as far as stewardship. They seem to be quite well organized. I think I came away with a very positive impression of what the ranchers in this region are trying to do.
Just one more comment. I think that's because I want to give credit for that to the TMDL staff. There's three adopted total maximum daily loads in the Pajaro River watershed for various sub-watersheds and water bodies in each of them, but for sediment, nutrients, and bacteria. And in each of the processes to develop those TMDLs going back to 2005, I think, is when the sediment one was adopted, there was a lot of outreach and engagement with all stakeholders, but specifically the ranching community, and then that rolled around again for the next one, which was 2009, and then most recently, just in October, for the nutrient TMDL that you approved.
And in recent years, and refresh my memory when it was done, there was a report that was developed between our staff and ranchers, and it was scientifically peer-reviewed, and this was a best management practice, I think, part of the title. And if I recall, Kay Mercer was involved in also in putting this report together. But it was done with the direct involvement of our staff. I'm going to say it's a 90-page plus document. And you recall that?
Yeah, I'm not.
Yeah. But that was a foundation of trying, where I think the ranchers were trying on their own to come up with some guidelines of best management practice. And although it's not a regulatory document, there was a document done in collaboratively with our staff. And I think the key point is was, you know, peer reviewed scientifically to assure, the good science behind the information. I was going to mention too that the San Luis Obispo County Agriculture Liaison Advisory Board had requested to have updated information on the status of GRAP, and so what we have provided to all the members of the Ag Liaison Advisory Board is a copy of this item 21 to, you know, basically give them a summary of the activities. The next meeting is going to be in a couple of weeks. If they have any further discussion, we'll entertain those.
The main driver behind some of these recent requests for us to come to these meetings is because a lot of the ranchers believed that the resolution that the State Board adopted to discontinue the Grazing Regulatory Action Project, or the GRAP, directed the regional boards to take up the charge to start adopting regulatory permits and tools to address grazing. So once we kind of learned that, we realized it would benefit us to get out early and often in response to requests to sort of dispel that rumor and explain how we are prioritizing and what we're working on here and how we are currently treating rangeland and what might be coming in the future, depending on future TMDLs or other implementation needs where there are water quality problems. But
these meetings are held, they're standing meetings. They're held twice a year, once in the fall and once in the spring. And I would recommend that staff continue to go to those meetings, and so that I think it's a very easy way with a very low resource input to leverage our presence so that the ranchers continue to know that we're part of the process and that we're there, and that there's great information exchange, but also that we're not forgetting about grazing, even though, you know, for the most part it is low priority, but I think our presence at the meeting would be very helpful.
Mr. Johnston?
Should we be returning to that San Benito County meeting 6 months from now? Should I be reappointed to the board 2 weeks from now? I'd be most likely be willing to ride along.
Yeah, I would say that if a board member or two wanted to go, I think that would be great. Having Mr. Delgado there, I think, was a great asset. Anytime I think the board members show up, I think there's a lot of value in that if you can afford the time and you have less than 2 weeks, by the way.
Oh, good.
That's correct. Mr. Young?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can I ask questions that are not within the report?
You can ask them, certainly.
Okay. Diablo Canyon, is it coming back to the board at some point?
Diablo Canyon, for the permit, is currently scheduled for December 2016. May of 2016, we have a ACL hearing at least posted, and I think I'm going to let Michael mention more of that to whatever extent he can tell you about, but we have put these on the agenda, and I want to remind you, because it now is a pending item before the board, you cannot talk to people about Diablo Canyon. In fact, we, because of ex parte rules, we actually had a gentleman who wanted to come to the meeting today, and we told him he couldn't do it because of ex parte, because this was now a pending item before the board. Michael, do you want to say anything about the, I don't know how much Michael can say. I can just say that they are trying to resolve the former ACL with Diablo, which is quite old. And just to be prepared, Michael has put a date on the ACL hearing. I think it was May.
Yeah, so as Ken mentioned, the permit renewal is scheduled for the end of next year. And staff has been directed to resolve the previous enforcement action. So we've started conversations with PG&E, their confidential settlement negotiations and discussions. And the idea is to try and resolve it and bring that proposed resolution back to the board prior to the permit renewal, so that you can separate the two issues for hopefully to streamline the process. And if we're unable to negotiate a resolution with PG&E, then we would have to consider a plan B, which would most likely be a hearing in front of the board. And we were trying to, schedule-wise, like, how could we do that? How could we have a hearing and conclude it before permit renewal at the end of next year? And we were thinking we would have to do that in May in order to accommodate that schedule. So I can't discuss the confidential settlement negotiations, but I can let you know that they're ongoing right now.
Can you tell us, are these issues related to the intake as opposed to the discharge of the heated effluent?
The enforcement action that we started back in 2000 was about the discharge of thermal waste. So it was the heated water that's discharged. And staff alleged that the impacts caused by the thermal discharge were greater than permitted. So that was the basis of the enforcement action. So we are discussing resolution of that issue.
And has the state board weighed in at all in these past few years that it hasn't been with us, where they were contemplating taking up the issue of permitting of these power plants?
So the state board did adopt a once through cooling policy, and in that policy, they took over the permitting for these power plants and the once through cooling issues. However, over the years since they adopted the policy, which I believe was 2010, over the years they've changed the policy, and the permitting process is now back with the regional boards. So this board would have to renew the MPDS permit for the facility. However, the resolution of the issue of whether they're using best technology available to minimize the intake of fish and wildlife into the power plant, which includes entrainment of larvae, fish larvae, and impingement of juvenile and adult fish. The resolution of that issue is still with the state board. So the overall permit is with the regional board. Resolution of entrainment and impingement and best technology available is with the state board. And in August of this year, the state board delegated authority to deal with that issue to Tom Howard, the executive director. So at some point in time, that issue has to be resolved as well. We're working on the enforcement case and resolving that. That's the thermal discharge. State Board staff are working with PG&E on any mitigation that may be required for entrainment and impingement.
So will that then become part of our December 2016 renewal?
Yes.
But both parts of this?
Yes, the permit that this board adopts would have to have a finding mm-hmm. about entrainment and impingement and the best technology available and any mitigation resolution that the state board staff have agreed to with PG&E. Okay.
And that process is it not just a formula? It's pretty straightforward in terms of PG&E is going to pay a dollar amount for the number of gallons they push through the plant. So it's not that's what the mitigation for entrainment and impingement is going to be. That's what came out of the policy and that the experts decided was the most reasonable manner in which to deal with the issue.
It was simple and straightforward until August. The state board adopted a resolution delegating authority to the executive director and added another option. So power plants, the utilities, can do updated entrainment studies, use the data from those studies to make an argument for doing something else, doing an alternative to that simple, straightforward fee per gallon.
That's right, and that's why another reason why we're delayed is the consultants who we were gonna work with on the permit are actually doing the updated entrainment study.
Okay, another question I have, the ag order.
Hold on one second, Mr. Young. I think Mr. Johnson had a question about Diablo.
I do, thank you. So let me just see if I've got this straight. While on the ACL, the issue before us is thermal load, because it's an old ACL. It's the issue is what the issue was. On the permit, while the issues in the permit will include impingement, entrainment, and thermal load, the state board has retained jurisdiction over impingement, entrainment, and while our permit will include that, we will not really have a say in that per se as a regional board. So the only issue before us in the permit will be thermal load as well. Is that correct?
No, we want to resolve the thermal issue before we bring the permit to you. So if we get those two, so if the state board finishes their work and Michael and Office of Enforcement finish their work, what comes to you will be a permit, which from a technical standpoint should be fairly straightforward. It's just the discharge of the water, so that should not be. It should not be difficult. Although I know that Diablo Canyon is a sensitive issue in this area, so I suspect, no matter how simple the policy question before the board is, it will be controversial, I'm sure.
So presumably, whatever we resolve on the thermal load, whatever is either a negotiated settlement that we approve or the result of an ACL hearing on the thermal load, will resolve that issue for the subsequent permit renewal process. That's the assumption you're making?
We would not bring you, without those two being settled, we will not bring a permit to you.
Okay, and once the ACL has been settled, that will resolve the issue for the permit renewal, is that correct?
We want to solve, but we want both. The entrainment impingement mitigation has to be resolved by the state board.
State board.
And then we need to come to some agreement about the ACL related to thermal waste, and that's what Michael is working on. Those need to be completed
before we bring the permit to you. The question I'm asking is this, and maybe it's a legal question. Once we resolve this 2005 thermal load ACL, does that as a legal matter settle the question as well for the permit renewal?
Yes.
And that depends on you, because the board would have to decide whether the settlement is acceptable or not. So if the board accepts the settlement and decides to renew the permit, yes.
Got it. So we, okay.
Jessica?
So the last thing on Diablo.
I think you can hang up. We weren't going to dial her in until 1:30, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You can just hang up.
But is she trying to come in?
No.
What would have prompted that?
That's because we didn't have anybody else on the conference line, so it prompts you.
Just time. And it was getting bored with our questions.
So as Mr. Harris explained, there is an ex parte prohibition on the item since it is now pending. In the ag order, board members were able to have ex parte communications as long as they filled out the form and disclosed it. That is not applicable. So all ex parte communications are prohibited on the permit at this time. So if someone approaches you about the permit, you have to say that you can't talk to them about it.
The difference being that this is a permit for one individual entity?
Correct. Right. Essentially, after the ag order was dealt with, the law changed to allow ex parte communications with disclosure and this form for general permits. Permits that are linked to one individual like this one are still subject to the prohibition.
So we can't talk to our spouses about it?
No.
And that includes your dog, Mr. Mayor.
The new permit, the existing permit and the 2016 projected permit, they're both going to have thermal load parameters requirements, right? And so we will retain authority over compliance with thermal load regulations.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Michael, just to be clear, though, once the ACL is settled, that settles the ACL regarding thermal load. That's a permanent settlement. We would not ever go back and issue, as long as they're in compliance with the conditions, we would never go back and issue another. We can't go back and go after them again on thermal load.
Right. The idea is to settle the thermal effects. And when I say thermal effects, I'm talking about the biological impact footprint. We're settling that. That's the idea. There are many aspects of this discharge that the board regulates. That includes all types of parameters that we monitor for in addition to heat, and all those continue to be regulated by this board, and they continue to be in the permit. The biological footprint, you know, the changes in the biological populations there as a result of the heat discharge, the elevated temperature, that's what we're settling. So now and into the future.
Right. So if that was to occur again in 3 years under a new permit, we would have authority to address it.
Well, in 5 years, you know, the permits are renewed every 5 years, theoretically. This one has not been. But in 5 years, the permit came up for renewal. You would not address the biological footprint, that the changes caused by the elevated temperature discharge, because that would have been resolved.
Unless we change the parameters in the permit.
I'm not an attorney, but I would say no, that I don't think that's an option for the board, because the impacts caused by the thermal discharge would have been resolved.
This is a one-time settlement agreement. They're basically going to pay. They're paying the value of that impact for as long as that plant remains open.
Right, but if in 2017 they further violate in some new way the thermal requirements they're under with the 2016 expected permit, we would have authority to address that.
So just speculating here, let's say that something happens in the future that is beyond the footprint that we're talking about, the footprint that's been resolved. Something happens beyond that, and it increases 10 times, you know, just to speculate, just for point of the argument, then that's not covered under this settlement. If something happens that's unpredicted in the future that is greater than what we are talking about, than what we have defined, then it's not covered. A settlement wouldn't cover anything that could possibly happen in the future that's beyond what has happened.
But theoretically, a settlement could cover ongoing violation of a previous parameter because it's been settled into the future. So if theoretically, not so much this case, but settlements in general could allow a discharger by a settlement to continue doing something that was beyond a permit's parameters.
It would depend on the parameter. There are different types of parameters, and they are enforced in different ways per the law. So if you have a parameter that is subject to qualitative interpretation and judgment, there's more flexibility there. If you have a parameter that is 6, and we're required by law to meet that parameter and enforce that parameter, then we may not have the authority to say we'll allow it to go higher than that in the future.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So we need to cut this discussion off because we're getting too far into the weeds and it's not an agendized item.
So, yeah, in fact, I was going to suggest that we're getting down to the 3-centimeter height of the weeds. I know some of our board members have additional questions, but I would suggest that this would be a time to take a 15-minute break, and then we can reconvene, and then additional questions that we have for Mr. Harris can be made. Just for clarification, the noise you hear upstairs is not because we have a very agitated staff. It is because the carpets are being replaced. So I saw some signs of anxiety coming from you, Claire, so that's what's happening upstairs. Yeah, I mean, we're movers and shakers, you know. So let's reconvene at 10 to 11. Thank you.